Well, I'm glad to see everyone here. My name's Benjamin, and I wanted to come and tell you about what happened in Jerusalem a few days ago. Did you hear already? No? Oh, man, I honestly, I would not have believed it if I hadn't been there myself. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. To give you an idea, it was, you know, not too hot that day. Not too hot if you'd just been out walking, but if you'd been standing in the sun all day, it would have been really, really hot. And there were people there standing in the sun all day. Thousands of people. There were probably about 80,000 people at the Passover festival in Jerusalem, and thousands of them were outside. And they'd lined the roads, sometimes rows deep. And there were people perched up on little shelves of rock higher up, and there were people leaning against the walls in the shade, all outside of the eastern gate of Jerusalem. And they were all there for one reason, the same reason I was there. We wanted to see Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, I wasn't sure what to expect. I don't know a lot about Jesus, but I wanted to be there to see this guy who works miracles. Some say he even claims to be God. Or if he's not God himself, he seems to be on pretty good terms with him, because anything he asks of God, he gives him. But I wasn't sure. I just knew that I had to be there. It was something not to be missed. And there were other people who were saying, Jesus is going to come as a king. He's going to save the Israelite nation. The guy I was standing shoulder to shoulder with in the heat for hours, he was convinced that Jesus was going to come as a king, and he was going to take the Roman oppressors, and he was going to kick them out. And the guy kind of brandished a sword about in the air and was kind of leaping around and talking about the fact that Jesus would be this deliverer. Everyone was there because they wanted to see Jesus. Apparently people had been there all night, even. There was a man who came from Bethany, which is just about 2 kilometers or so east of Jerusalem, over the Mount of Olives. And Jesus had come there the night before. And Jesus is enough of a celebrity now that he can't go anywhere without people knowing about it. You've probably all heard about this Jesus already. And the man came from Bethany, and he said, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem tomorrow. And the people, even that night before, they went out, and they huddled in their cloaks and their blankets, and they sat beside the road, eager to stake out their space to see Jesus, front row, firsthand. Like I said, when I got there were already thousands of people. I felt like a latecomer to the party. And we were all there for one reason, which was to see Jesus. And then as we're all standing there, hours into the afternoon, someone else came from Bethany. And I saw him kind of running over the hill, tumbling through the crowd, bumping into people, telling them all about what had happened. And then when he came to my knot of people, he was telling his story again. It's a man from Bethany, and wouldn't you believe it, he walked out of his front door and he saw two guys trying to steal his donkey. And so he caught them red-handed. He said, "What are you doing?" And it wasn't hard enough to peg them as foreigners because they have this weird Galilean accent. And you know what they said? "We're just taking it for a minute. The Lord needs it. We'll bring it back soon." Oh man, the gleam in this guy's eyes. He said, "You know what that means, don't you? The Lord, like the master, the teacher, Jesus. He needs my donkey. Jesus is going to be riding on my donkey. Take it. I don't care if I ever get it back. Just take it." And before I could think of anything else to say, he was off telling some other people about Jesus and his donkey. But I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant. All of us, young and old, rich and poor, we'd been schooled in the scriptures since we were very young. And I remembered the words of the prophet Zechariah, who said, "The king is going to come on a young, unridden donkey." And the guy who's standing next to me was convinced that Jesus was going to come as a king. This was enough for him. He was convinced. And so he waited. And the crowd is amazingly quiet, because we knew Jesus was coming. And then sure enough, on the horizon, just along the top of the Mount of Olives, against the sky. We could see a mounted figure, and there were 12 unmounted figures around him. The 12 disciples, people who went with Jesus everywhere. And they started coming down the road. And then it was pandemonium. I mean, people were shouting. They were screaming. Okay, just to give you an idea of how it was, I want to hear some screams. I want to hear some shouts. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Okay, like that. You know, I told this story to people about 2 hours ago, and like I don't think they were awake yet or something. I didn't get that kind of... Anyway, so he came down the road, and then I saw the face of Jesus. And you know what? First thing that surprised me, it wasn't really much to look at. But the second thing that surprised me was I've never seen love like that before. I felt like every person he locked eyes with, even if it was just half a second, that he loved them and he knew them. And when his eyes and mine connected, I felt like he knew everything that I'd ever done, ever thought. And I'm not proud of some of that stuff, but you know what? His love, I'm just overwhelmed by it. In that half a second, to be able to convey that much. And he was so curious as his eyes went away from mine and he was looking around and he saw everyone, everything that was going on. He was so intensely curious, his eyes just sucked it in. And then when he saw the walls of Jerusalem, there was a look of sadness and anguish that crossed his face. And it looked like he was remembering something very painful. And it looked like he was about to cry. But then a look of resolve would come across his face, and he would glance away, and he would go back to the loving looks that he was directing everyone. He seemed like a man who felt everything there was to feel, right down to the tips of his toes. And then as Jesus was coming along, people started throwing their cloaks out on the road. And it seemed like this big, long strip of cloth kind of unfurled as people laid their cloaks out, and it traveled all the way up to the eastern gate of Jerusalem. And people who were farther away were elbowing in, trying to just throw their cloak on the road, even though there were 4 or 5 cloaks deep all the way along. And Jesus rode his donkey over all of that. And then there were the palm leaves. I think some people, they knew they were going to be coming, so they'd gone out to the fields and they'd cut palm leaves and they strapped them in bundles to their backs. But there were some people who didn't have any. And so they climbed the trees that were interspersed among the crowd, and they got up to the top and they cut the trees bare. And all of a sudden, everyone was waving palm leaves. Yeah, just like that. I want to see more of those leaves. Everyone was waving palm leaves. Sons and daughters were sitting on their parents' shoulders, waving leaves. And it looked like a great forest that was whipped about by the wind. And the sound of the wind was the rush of the voices. And then, even as we were waving leaves, the voices changed from a big roar to a unified shout. And they shouted these words. Would you shout them with me? Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Blessed is the King of Israel. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Oh, man, even just repeating those words now, it did something. And people were unified around this Jesus. Hosanna, save us. They wanted someone to come and save them. Then as Jesus drew up to the gate, well, it's probably no secret that Jesus and the religious leaders don't like each other very much. And so I was really surprised to see the religious leaders, like that they were even there, but that they went up to Jesus when he came near the gate. But then when I saw the contempt on their faces, their ever solemn faces, I knew why they were there. And I couldn't hear the words because of the rush and the roar of acclamation. But someone told me later, they said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." I don't know if they didn't like the noise or they didn't like what the people were saying. But I mean, how could you stop a crowd like that? And you know what Jesus said? He says all sorts of stuff that I've never been able to figure out. A really mysterious kind of guy. But he said, if these people don't shout out, the stones will cry out. Can you imagine that? The stones! Like they're going to grow mouths and cry out. What a weird thing to say. But that's Jesus for you. Jesus could say that. And I kept thinking to myself, who is this man? And that was the day that we welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. I think he must have been there to really understand how wild, how outrageous something like this would have been. I'm actually surprised that there wasn't a riot. But they were all there for one reason, to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. And they were going to do it. They were going to do it with noise and with branches and with shouting. This is Palm Sunday, that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they were going to welcome him in. And that's why Palm Sunday isn't just a one-time event. I mean, Jesus had come to Jerusalem before there weren't palm branches. He came on that day knowing that he wasn't going to leave again, that he was going to be crucified, and they waved the branches. And as we retell the story, it's a reminder to us to welcome Jesus in to our hearts, to our lives, to our community. And we do this collectively, and we can do this as individuals. We do it collectively like we've already been doing it here this morning. We've been singing and praising and praying and making ourselves available to Jesus, inviting him in. I mean, he's here already. He was here before we got here this morning. He's going to be here after we leave. But he wants us to welcome him in. He'd still be here, even if there wasn't anyone here. He would have still come to Jerusalem, even if there was only one guy standing out on the road going, "Yeah, Jesus! Woo!" With the pom-poms or whatever, I don't know. And he still would have come because he had a mission. But it makes all the difference that we welcome him in. And that crowd, though, was only a collection of individuals. And I wonder why everyone was there. Maybe they didn't know themselves. Maybe some people were, honestly, they were just curious. They'd heard about Jesus. And they thought, man, I am not going to miss this. Like, think of, like, the best concert you would ever want to go to. Like, you could do anything. You'd do anything to be there. I kind of think of, that's like what happened. If you were in Jerusalem, man, you had to be there. People were curious. Some people had heard that Jesus worked miracles and maybe they needed a miracle in their lives. Some people, they'd heard that Jesus was coming as a king and they wanted to be there to see Jesus kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. And some people were the dedicated disciples who were going to go with Jesus wherever, no matter what happened. They were there to stick it through. So if you were there that morning, where would you be? Who would you be? Why would you be there? Would you be someone who's just curious? Maybe you're just curious about Jesus. Would you be someone who's hoping for a miracle? Would you be someone who wants to see their people set free? Would you be one of the dedicated disciples? And maybe the way you answer that question about why you might be there gives an indication of why you're here this morning? Are you just checking Jesus out? You've heard about Jesus and you're not sure, but you feel like this is the place you got to be. I want to welcome you here this morning. Do you feel like you need a miracle? You've heard Jesus can work miracles and you need a miracle in your life. Do you feel that you want Jesus to set you free from some of the oppression that you're experiencing, broken relationships, addiction, whatever it is that's weighing you down? And you've heard that Jesus is going to do something like that. He's going to set the people free. Or are you here because you're one of his faithful followers? You're going to be here no matter what. You're going to be here if no one else is here. I think I've personally traveled through all those categories, from just checking Jesus out when I was a teenager to hearing that Jesus could work some miracles, and he has in my life. And now I would place myself amongst the dedicated followers. We know that morning there was at least 12 there because they were walking with Jesus. Where do you find yourself this morning? What do you want from Jesus? Well, that's one question. But I guess the bigger question is, what does it look like? If Palm Sunday is about welcoming Jesus, what does that actually look like? Because I can imagine that the people there, I mean, they were excited about being there. Like, this was the thing to be. They were excited. But I wonder, even later on that day, when the crowd had cleared, I wonder about the next day and the next week and the next month, if they were still as excited about Jesus. I mean, it's easy to worship in this space. I think we have an amazingly talented team of faithful people who create a worship environment where we together can collectively say, Jesus, would you come? You're welcome in this space. But what about when you walk out the door? What about on Monday or Saturday, after a whole week of not being here? Where is your enthusiasm? Because I can imagine the people that morning, they say, okay, I got to sweep the front stoop, I got to make these hides into leather, I got to brew some, or make some wine, I got to, you know, thresh the grain, I got to do whatever I got to do. And that crowds Jesus out. And maybe you find yourself in a similar place where a few days later, the demands of life just crowd him out. And then we must never forget that the same group of people who said, Hosanna, 1 minute, 5 days later, said, Crucify him! Crucify him. And why is that? I can recognize the own tendency in my heart to swing from hot to cold. But they shouted for his demise because for a lot of them, Jesus didn't deliver on the promises that they thought he had promised. People thought he was going to come into Jerusalem as a king and kick the Romans out, and he didn't. He was about bringing a different kingdom, the kingdom of God, that is much stronger than any earthly kingdom that you could set up. But Jesus didn't satisfy what they thought Jesus was going to satisfy. And so they were done with him. And I think in my own spiritual experience, where 12 years now, there's been highs and there's been lows, and there's been some times where I've thought, Jesus, like, you haven't come through on what I thought you were about. And I've realized over that time, and I continue to realize, that often it's much more about my own misunderstanding of what Jesus is doing in my life, rather than being legitimately disappointed in Jesus not coming through. Some of the things he never promised. He didn't promise to make my life easy. He didn't promise to make all my relationships right. He didn't promise to give me lots of money. He didn't promise to do all of that kind of stuff. And sometimes we have false expectations of what Jesus is doing. So in the midst of enthusiasm that can fade, in the midst of false expectations, what does it mean to welcome Jesus into our circumstance? I think it's about two things. I think it's about time, And I think it's about a posture of the heart. And so the first question I would ask is, where are we carving out time throughout the day on a regular basis to welcome Jesus into our lives? Because I found when I'm disappointed, when I'm starting to get upset at Jesus for not delivering on the promise, for seeming more distant than he actually is, it's often I'm the one who separated myself from him. And so it doesn't have to be complicated. 2 to 3 to 5 minutes at different points throughout the day, maybe a little bit longer in the morning or in the evening or whatever works for you. Are you reading scripture? Are you not only talking to God, but listening to God? Are you reflecting? Are you journaling? And those are just a few of the kind of things that we can do to allow God to come in our existence, but we do need to set aside the time just to say, welcome into my circumstances. I'm going to put my mind away from what I've been thinking about, and I'm going to think about God even for these 2 to 3 to 5 minutes over lunch hour or coffee break or whatever it is. And if you're wondering, really, honestly, you don't understand the idea of spiritual disciplines, or you want to get more inspired to do some of these things, there is a class, 11 o'clock, during this 11 a.m. service, beginning April 7th, called Spiritual Life Essentials, where it'll be 3 Sunday mornings. We'll be talking about reading the Bible and about spiritual disciplines. So you can sign up through the glance, tear that piece off, and hand it in at the info center at the back. The question I want to leave for us this morning is, how are you making space for Jesus in your life? Where would you have found yourself in that crowd? What are you asking of Jesus? And how are you saying, Jesus, I just want to come in. I just want to welcome you here. And so would you stand up as we sing the final song? And the words are, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Would you welcome him in this morning?